الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد، فعن أبي يعلى شداد بن أوس رضي الله تعالى عنه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: إن الله كتب الإحسان على كل شيء، فإذا قتلتم فأحسنوا القتلة، وإذا ذبحتم فأحسنوا الذبحة، وليحد أحدكم شفرته وليرح ذبيحته. رواه مسلم في صحيحه. Respected elders, brothers in Islam, this hadith, the 17th hadith as recorded by Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi in his Arba'in, is a saying of our Prophet in which he explains a very simple yet wide-ranging and important principle, hukam, that we should all abide by in our lives. In short, what our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is requesting us, and in fact ordering us to do, is that in every action that we perform, in every form of worship, in every form of dealings that we have with one another, then we should try to perform this action and this duty and obligation to the best of our ability. To do this action with ihsan. And what the ulama-i kiram say is that what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means, that in whatever field we may be performing any type of action, then we should perform this action completely. We should perform this nicely. We should do this in a decent manner, in a tasteful manner. The words of the hadith are, إِنَّ اللَّهَ, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانِ, has written ihsan, عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, upon everything that you do. And you may remember that we came across the word ihsan before in the first hadith, one of the earlier hadiths, the hadith of Jibreel, when Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam asked the Prophet, وَمَا الْإِحْسَانِ, what is ihsan? And the Prophet described the terminology of ihsan as being أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ, that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you are looking at Him, as if He's right in front of you. And if a person cannot do that, then فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ, then at least remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. So that was the definition given of ihsan in that earlier hadith, and the word has been repeated in this hadith. And again, it can mean the same thing. It means that whenever we perform a certain action, that we should remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in front of us when we perform that action, and that He is watching our every deed. So when we have that philosophy in mind, and when we have that kind of attitude in our heads, then obviously we will try to perform this action to the best of our abilities, to do this with 100% conviction and correctly, to do it in a tasteful and decent manner. What the hadith goes on to say is, it mentions how that ihsan can be applied in our everyday lives. And specifically, what this hadith talks about is how not we should perform ihsan in our ibadahs. We already know that when we perform worship of Allah, we should do it with pure dedication and sincerity. It does not talk about our ihsan with fellow humans. Again, this is a foregone conclusion. We know very well that when we deal with fellow humans, then we should deal with them with ihsan in the right manner, in a decent manner, in a way that we would want to be treated ourselves. What the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refers to here is that he says that even when it comes to the treatment of animals, then you should show ihsan, that you should show decency and consideration. And he touched upon this area because normal people, and especially for that time and age in which the Prophet said this, that normal people would consider ihsan only applicable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the fellow servants and humans. And to be good to animals and to treat them in a decent manner would not come into our mind straight away. But here we hear that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that Islam is so perfect, Islam is such a merciful religion, that it even teaches decency towards animals as well. It teaches us that we should be kind to the non-human world as well. Let us hear the words of the hadith as the Prophet said them. فَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الْقِتْلَةَ The Prophet said that when it comes to the sacrifice of an animal, when it comes to the killing of an animal for your own food, for your own nutrition, then when you do kill them, make sure you kill them in a decent way. Make sure you kill them in a way with ihsan. That you do not kill them in a way which perhaps will go against the violations of normal principles, of normal human principles of how we should treat animals. فَإِذَا زَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الزِّبْحَ And when you do the zabah of an animal, when you sacrifice it, then again make sure you are doing it properly. And what that means is that you do not prolong the pain that the animal goes through. You do not put it in front of the other fellow animals so that the other animals will see this animal being killed and feel more anxious about their own fate. That you make sure that the killing is done as quickly as possible. And then the Prophet went on to say, وَلْيُحِدَّ أَحَدُكُمْ شَفْرَتَهُ The Prophet even went on to say that even the knife that you use to kill the animal, make sure that knife is a sharp one. Do not use blunt instruments to kill the animal. Why? Because by using a blunt knife, then you will simply cause more pain that is needed to that animal. The animal is going to die anyway. The animal you are going to slaughter for your own consumption anyway. But here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that even when you kill the animal, make sure it goes through as small a pain as possible. وَلْيُرِحْ زَبِيهَتَهُ And you try to give it as much comfort as possible before you actually kill it. You have seen and you have most definitely heard in this country that when animals, when livestock is transported from place to place, then they put them in massive trucks. And basically the way that they do it is they try to put as many animals as possible into the truck. And what you will find is that the animals in the truck have no space whatsoever to move. And they are completely stuck in one position. And they have no freedom of movement whatsoever. And sometimes the journeys that these trucks take can be up to 7, 8, 9 hours. And sometimes, in fact, these trucks actually make intercontinental journeys. They actually go to Europe as well. So you can imagine how much pain and anguish these animals actually go through even before they are slaughtered. This, according to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would be against the teachings of our own religion. Islam, from the onset, has shown that we should treat the non-human world with compassion and decency as well. And we see that Islam has always taught this, by virtue of the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said these words all those hundreds and centuries of years ago. We hear, for instance, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam famously told his companions the story of a man who was in the desert and who was obviously very thirsty, and eventually he came across a well and he managed to remove some water for himself from the well to drink. And as he drank and he quenched his thirst, he saw that beside him, next to the well, there was a dog, a very thirsty dog, who obviously had no means to go down the well and fetch water for himself. And so this man thought to himself, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, that in exactly the same way I am thirsty, that this dog obviously is thirsty and is helpless as well. So what the man did is that he managed to remove some water from the well and he put it in his own shoe so that this animal could drink from the well. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that just by this small action, this man, his sins were actually forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, we see this, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught not just the animal world, but for the environment as well, that you ensure that you do not cause unneeded harm to the environment. For instance, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, especially in a state of jihad, when Muslims go for battle, that you should not cut down trees without reason. In the olden days, what they would do is to clear the area, to clear the battlefield. Then they would cut down shrubs and trees. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade this. Now today, we see in the modern world that if you read the newspapers and watch the TV, then you will suddenly feel that the West is actually more caring for the environment than anyone else ever in history. Time and time again, we hear about controlling the environment, recycling and ensuring that the carbon releases are not as much as they are supposed to be. What you will find is that the West, all of the policies that they have implemented regarding the environment have been reactive policies. These policies have been implemented when the damage has actually been done. They don't actually take measures beforehand. Everything that they are doing about the environment and the impression that they give that they care for the environment is all done after the damage has been done. You will remember in the late 80s and the early 90s there was talk of a massive hole in the ozone layer, and this had been caused by CFC emissions from components and fridges and from aerosol cans. Now obviously this is not to be found, this substance is not to be found in fridges, it's not to be found in deodorant sprays. But the governments of all the West, they only took measures once they found out there was a hole in the ozone layer. That's when they actually made those steps. They didn't try to do anything about the environment then. Now today we hear about carbon emission and greenhouse gases and global warming. We hear this every single day in the news. But people are only taking measures because they can physically feel that the earth is getting warmer. That they can actually physically feel the effects of global warming. They are thinking to themselves that even in the month of October, November, we still see trees now with the leaves on them, whereas 10 years ago that was not the case. We see that, for instance, the records suggest that just 2 months ago in April, that was one of the hottest Aprils ever on record. People are physically feeling that we are doing something wrong with the environment. That is why people are taking action now. It's only because they see things are becoming corrupt, things are going wrong. Now they have decided to do something about it. So every reaction that they have, every policy that they are trying to implement now, has only come about after they had seen the damage. But look what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was doing. He told us to care about the environment and to care for fellow humans and to care for non-humans even before any damage was done to the earth. These policies were implemented and were propagated by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 1400 years ago, at a time when there was no environmental damage. This environmental damage has come in the last 100 years. So what we see here is that Islam is preemptive. It actually shows us the solution to problems before they actually come about, where the policies of the West are reactive. They wait for things to happen, they wait for damage to actually occur, and then they try to do something about this. Finally, what this also shows, this hadith, is the true nature of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that his mercy extended not only to Muslims, not only to the non-Muslims, but in fact to the non-human world as well. That he showed his way to care for the environment. And indeed we understand from this, this is really a reflection of the verse from the Holy Quran, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a mercy, not just for one world, but for the entire world, for the human world, for the animal kingdom, for the plant kingdom, for the jinns, for the worlds that we see and for the worlds we don't see. And we only begin to appreciate it when we see what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and hear what kind of advice he has given to us and how we treat other people and other humans and non-humans around us. So in short, what we find is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically talked about animals in this hadith, because normally people, when they think about ihsan and doing things properly, they will think about ibadat, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or dealing with others well. But here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reminding us that this ihsan and this good behavior and decency and tasteful behavior extends to everyone and everything, and that includes the animal kingdom as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to perform ihsan on all the actions that we perform. Ameen. Wa ma alayna illa al-balagh al-mubin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim wa salli alayhi. Allahumma rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul 'alim wa tub 'alayna innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. اللهم إنا على تلاوة القرآن وذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه ونور عرشه محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب العالمين.